So I knew almost the moment when Pastor McLean came to me and I was standing there and he asked if I would share something from my heart, maybe with the folks, maybe something that God's shown me. I knew almost instantly what God wanted me to share, but I didn't want to do it. I'm not the type most of the time to share my feelings and let people in. For the most part, I don't express or, you know what I mean, I get mushy. I don't like to do that too much because I can be an emotional fella, which is why I brought backup today. So I knew, but the Lord has been speaking to me about this topic, and Pastor McLean texted me back, and he said, "So are we doing this?" And I knew it. I was like, you know what? I've been thinking about this for so long. I was like, God's not letting me go with this, so I'm just going to do it. Because when God asks you to do something, you hear me, kids? You just do it. You just do it. And you follow him and see where he can take you. So our text today is going to be taken from Mark chapter 4. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 4. In our setting here, in the very first part of Mark chapter 4, Jesus is with his disciples and he's teaching a multitude of people. A multitude of people out on the shoreline, in so much, they crowded him so much, Jesus needed a ship. So he's out in the water and Jesus is on the ship. And he's now teaching them all in parables and he's teaching them all these different stories. And the disciples are kind of marveled at all these teachings that Jesus decides from verse 13 down to 34 that he's going to explain those parables to his disciples. I just wanted to give you the background a bit of where we're going here, because that is not where I'm starting from. I'm starting from verse 35, but I wanted to show you that Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he had a plan this whole time. And so he started to expound on his parables to them. And we'll start in the text here. In verse 35, I'm going to read down to verse 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not? We perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Through Mark, earlier, they had been with Jesus watching him. The multitudes came because of all the miracles and the wonders that he was doing. He was healing so many people, one after the other, that they were coming from everywhere. And they gathered so many of them that he, even in chapter 3, he said to his disciples, We're going to need a ship. Make sure there's a ship for me when we get there. And he got there and he went out to the ship to talk to these people. So here they're on this ship, and Jesus says, now that it's even, it's coming up to the evening, who decides to sail across the sea in the dark? Or even at night at all? I mean, I don't know. They're going to trust God, and they're just going to, well, let's go. Jesus said in verse 35, Let us pass over onto the other side. Now, if I was going to title my message today, I'm really going to try and keep it within 10, 15 minutes. I really touched on, carest thou not? Because of so many different storms that we as believers, or even not believers, we come through. And sometimes God brings me back to a place in my life. I have 6 children. My wife and I, we have 6 kids. We have 3 girls, 3 boys. And he teaches me so many lessons by me dealing with them. Sometimes I feel like a hypocrite when I'm talking to them and I get put in my place real fast. Because I'll go and I'll start praying and I'll say, oh, I feel so dirty. I'm telling my kids to live one way and stuff, but this thing called sin keeps hunting me down. And these battles, they keep coming, and these storms, they keep coming, and they're filling my boat. How do I do all this? Don't you care? Carest thou not? I'm pretty sure as a parent, or even as a child growing up, you remember saying that to your parent a time or two, or the kids remember now saying it. You don't care. You don't even care. You don't care that nobody else is going to that party. I want to go over here. I want to go to this party and hang out with all my friends. I want to be able to go there. How come I can't go? How come they get to ride on that quad with no helmet? How come I can't jump on that quad with no helmet, Dad? I want to go and I want to rip roar all over the place with no helmet. And I said, no, it's not happening. Because I can see something that you can't. I know down the road, there's something that is not good if you make this choice. But you hear it. You don't even care. You don't care, do you? And sometimes we just try to direct their paths. And then we know that the choices that they're going to make sometimes is going to cause them heartache and pain. And we try to redirect them because we can see that end. Almost not so much the end, but we know what path that's going on. One day, it's not usually right away, but it's always later on when you look back. I know through my life when my dad always told me, no way, I remember grumbling to myself. I'd go downstairs in my room because I didn't lip off to my dad, but I did behind his back. Hey, don't take any ideas about that either. But I would. I'd go to my room and never let me do nothing. I always want me to be miserable. They don't care. But now I look back, I'm thinking, man, I'm alive today because my dad said no. My dad said no. I really wish that sometimes, those aren't real, are they? We're good then. I was thinking this ain't going to end well. You know, as God's children, we do that to our Heavenly Father too, don't we? God has a plan for us and it doesn't match what we have in mind and it's not working. It's not working out how we thought it would work. Sometimes storms come our way and they don't make any sense to us, or maybe we just don't want any part of that storm. Maybe it's a storm of loss, a loved one, possessions, maybe a storm of finance, a storm of health. There's so many different storms, but whatever storms life sends our way, sometimes we don't want it. We don't understand how this is God in control. How is this God in control? Why is this happening to me? This isn't control. And if it seems out of control for us, we automatically assume that it's out of control for God. And when I say we, I'm hitting my fingers here. God's been talking to me about this because I've done this. There was a time when I got a phone call. This is years down the road. Zoe was about 2 or 3 years old, maybe. And I got a phone call, and they told me that my brother was going to die. And brought it. He might not make it till tomorrow. And I remember being asked to pray. I remember being asked to pray about it, and I brought it before the Lord, and we were standing there. My father-in-law had asked me to pray, and I remember I prayed, and if the Bible took me, I remember when everyone was talking about Hannah, how she was praying, and they thought she was drunk, and she was mumbling words, and like, there's something wrong with her. It's like, that was me. If you were in that room, you wouldn't have understood a word coming out of my mouth. You wouldn't have understood a word. But I prayed. And inside my heart, I was crying out, don't you care? Zoe came up to me after. Little baby girl. She says to me, is God with Uncle John, Dad? I said, of course, me being the spiritual leader, I'm like, of course he is. Yes, he is. He's there. She said, what are you worried about? I could feel the Lord. He said, why are you so fearful? You have no faith. It's not the fact that I was crying because my brother, my faith was locked up. I know God can heal him. I know God can do anything. But I didn't know if he was going to do it my way. And that's where I had no faith. You know, following God's plan for our lives, it doesn't mean there won't be any storms. What I really want to drive home here is that when the storms come, and they will, is that Jesus is in the ship and we have an anchor. Two times in that passage, he states, and I know these lessons were coming from Jesus to go to those disciples, and he's right in the beginning when he said, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship. And then I flip over, and they make it again, as the storm has arisen, and they make a point. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was in the ship. I can tell you that if you have personally trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, then my friend, Jesus is in your ship. And the storms will come. And remember that God is always in control. And his perfect time, he will arise. He will arise and he'll rebuke that storm. And then there will be a great calm. And the Bible said, he arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. I've been around enough years to have some storms of my own. The truth is, I have some right now. I can't see the outcomes of the storms. I can't see the other side. But I know he loves me. And you may have some storms as well. And he loves you. And he won't steer you wrong. We have an anchor in Jesus Christ if we just learn to use him. So hang in there. Hang in there. And remember that Christ is in the ship. And if you don't have him in your ship, now is the perfect time. Because I'd hate to be on the seas of life going through all these storms without an anchor like Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with a word of prayer, please.